Well, today we have a guest joining us here by phone. Billy Beck is with us. He's an assistant professor at Iowa State University and, in addition, a forestry specialist with Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. Billy, how are you this morning?
I'm good, Jim. How are you? Thanks for having me.
No, very good. Thank you so much. You have a good Christmas.
That was fabulous, yes. So everybody got there. Everybody's okay. So it was good to see everyone. And, Got some snow where we went, so that was good.
Good. Well, good. Glad you enjoyed the time. Well, here we are back to work again, and talking about some important issues here in Iowa. Windbreaks are nothing new. Certainly anyone who owns some farmland or some rural acreage understands how important it is to be able to protect that soil. But windbreaks are an important issue to always not just plant once and forget about. You've got to kind of keep after it. I know you've got some sessions coming up to visit with folks about that. Are you seeing folks looking into windbreaks now again and as being something that kind of need repair or need to continually be replaced?
Yeah, that's kind of the mission is, and this I don't have any, you know, hard numbers on this, but as I drive around the state and around the Midwest, you're right. You know, these things are something you can't just put in the ground and forget. They definitely have a lifespan. And as I look around the state of Iowa, I see that these are reaching the end of their lifespan wherever I look, and that means they're losing their functionality. So my kind of goal is to get these back on people's radar and kind of share the benefits that they have, not just from blocking the wind, but all kinds of other stuff, like you said, like clean air, clean water, wildlife habitat, even things that can diversify income on the farm, like timber and posts and fuel wood production. But that's kind of my mission, is to bring these back and get them renovated. That's an actual cost-shareable practice, is windbreak renovation. But I also see a lot of spots where windbreaks could do a lot of good, but they're just simply not there. So my goal is to bring them back on people's radar and kind of get them in touch with the resources that can make for a successful project, because a lot of folks might not know where to start, might not know what species to include, you know, the spacings, you know, what about the soils, is there cost share funding? So I want to hook them up with the folks that can really help with that planning. So
many of us, when we travel by car, we like to kind of check out the landscape around us, but you're checking out the windbreaks, huh?
Yeah, I know. It's almost dangerous. Like, I'm rubbernecking when I drive around the country because I'm looking at the trees and the windbreaks and, you know, the wildlife and all that stuff. But, no, I really look for, I don't know, I'm a forester, but I love the Great Plains and I love windbreaks. So I'm always looking for windbreaks that are out there. And I see a lot, too, on the ground with landowners. And, you know, they're just aging. They're very old. They're losing their function. They have very low species diversity. They've got insect and disease problems. And now we've got back-to-back derechos 2 years in a row that didn't help these things. So they're just they're really needed of repair, renovation, and all the new places where they could do a lot of good. So,
yeah, you mentioned some of the events that have come up here recently. You know, of course, tornado season comes and goes all the time, but yeah, the derechos, even flooding. I mean, there are little things like that we don't consider sometimes, the kind of damage it's doing to some of the functioning setups we have on our acreage.
No, correct. And it's tricky because, you know, there's a lot of different damage types that can occur to the trees and to the species. So that's really where, again, where I want to connect people with resources that can help. Just, you know, little things like, you know, okay, say you lose one tree in a windbreak. Well, most of our conifer species don't really grow well in the shade, so patching it up might not be an option there. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's just a lot of little things to think of, but there's people out there that can really help guide you through the process based on, you know, your goals, what you're trying to protect, and whatnot.
Sure. Well, I know you've got some sessions coming up, and I don't want to give away all of your secrets because you'd like folks to take part in that. But if we can share some information and help folks out along the way, this would be good too. So I guess starting, if they already have an established windbreak and they're taking a look at what they have out there, what kind of things should they be looking for?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, some of the just basic stuff, like this seems silly, but stand in front of it, you know, kind of perpendicular to it, and see how much kind of light you can see on the other end. And in the winter, winter is a really cool way or time to look at wind breaks. Obviously, I was doing this the other day. Get on the windward side on a cold day, on a windy day, and then get on the leeward side and kind of see where areas that might be compromised are, where the wind is flowing through. You do want a little bit of wind to go through. We'll talk about that at the sessions because it has to do with pressure gradients and kind of some the protected zone, how it impacts that. But and then just kind of see where the holes are, where what areas are being compromised. Snow, you know, you'll see that kind of snow deposition pattern associated with gaps in the windbreak. So that's kind of the first thing I do is look at where the gaps are. Also, look at insect and disease issues. That's kind of easier in the winter because a lot of our windbreaks are made of conifers or comprised with conifers. I would look at the size of the trees and see, you know, what age they are, how big they are, what the spacing is, are the canopies touching, are they self-pruning? So if you look, and that's kind of a natural process where if leaves and needles aren't getting enough sunlight, the tree will naturally kind of kill them off and self-prune. So if you see a lot of dead areas or pockets of that, what else? Yeah, just the general condition. Is it meeting your objectives? Like, say you have a shrub layer, shrub row for wildlife habitat. How are the shrubs doing? Do you see signs, evidence of wildlife there in the winter? But looking back, I'd say the biggest thing is, are there gaps? What's causing those gaps? And if those trees were to decline fully and die, will the neighbors fill in that space? If they won't, then there's some other things you need to do. But if they will, perhaps it's, you know, a good strategy to remove those declining trees before they spread insects or diseases. So look for the gaps, I guess, if I could say one thing.
Sure, sure. Well, I guess if we do notice some things, or maybe take it a different route too, if we have an area where we've considered putting in a windbreak, a new area, you know, who do we talk to? Where do we get the information that we need? What's the steps that we take?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that a lot of folks need to be informed of that. It's kind of different than forestry management in general in the state of Iowa, where you would contact your professional forester, be they with the Department of Natural Resources or a private consulting forester. I always tell folks that's your first step if you want to look at timber harvest or thinning your woodlands or tree plantings in general. But for windbreaks, I really encourage folks to meet with the Natural Resources Conservation Service, or NRCS. You can be found in the county USDA service centers, and actually we've got on our Natural Resource Extension website, we've got a clickable county map of Iowa where you can click on your county and get the contact information for the USDA service centers there. But I would meet with them, and what they're going to do is they're going to come out with a soil map, and they've got actually a spreadsheet tool that they can use, and they're going to look at your property and discuss with you what you want to protect. Do you want any compound benefits, like do you want wildlife habitat? Do you want to simply block your neighbors? Do you want wild edibles? Do you want to incorporate shrubs that you could potentially harvest, you know, to have some fun things to eat in the fall? Do you want to kind of just increase aesthetics of your property in general? So they'll kind of go over your objectives for the windbreak, and they'll kind of look at the spacing of your property and kind of like see what the distance is between the buildings and the place that you're planning on establishing the windbreak, because there's kind of a math ratio between the height of the trees and the density of the trees and the zone of protection or wind velocity reduction that it creates. But they'll kind of look at the lay of the land, you know, where your shops are, where your house is. If you're looking for livestock protection, they'll take that into consideration too. And they'll give you recommendations for spacing and species. And then they'll kind of go over with you cost share programmatic things and the first steps with that. So it's pretty handy. They kind of guide you through the process, but they also listen to what you want to get out of your windbreak. And like I said, it's a lot more than just blocking the wind and reducing wind velocities. There's all kinds of wildlife benefits, aesthetics, diversification of income, wild edibles, you know, all kinds of cool stuff. So,
yeah, I suppose it's like any other project. If you go in without a plan and without a reasonable amount of knowledge that you've gathered to figure out to do whether you're doing it right or not, you probably can do it wrong.
Yeah, and I love DIY stuff, and I'm not saying anything against DIY, but, you know, talking to my friends at the plant and insect diagnostic clinic here at Iowa State, where people send in plant and insect disease, you know, diagnosis stuff, samples, and myself, the most issues come from the kind of the do-it-yourself windbreaks. So the most kind of windbreaks that are not functioning as they should are kind of the do-it-yourself deals, where there's low species diversity, the wrong species, too tight spacing, the species don't match the soil type, the windbreak's not located to create a large enough zone of protection to protect what you want to do. So, I really encourage folks to visit with NRCS to start off. And then down the road, if you've got management questions or, you know, kind of disease questions or anything after the initial planning stages, you've got your professional foresters, you've got your forestry consultants that are out there to help you make those decisions too. And Extension Forestry too, our website and all the good stuff we've got.
Absolutely. You can always find that. And of course, it's called Extension and Outreach, and that's what you do. And with Iowa State University Extension and Outreach, they always have some different opportunities around the state. And I see on January 20th, you've got an opportunity here in Atlantic for folks to learn a little bit more.
Yes, so that's part of the Crop Advantage series, and that's kind of a big tour of Iowa every winter where we have, 10 sessions or 10 locations where the local extension folks kind of solicit subject matter, and then, like, I always throw out something forestry-related, and if they want me to talk about something forestry-related, they kind of invite me there and I'll speak. These are every year. It's the Crop Advantage series with Iowa State Extension, and they've got a whole range of topics targeted towards agricultural producers. So really, really cool. And I'm always about sharing that trees can enhance the ag enterprise, and I'm always promoting forest management and all kinds of tree practices on farms. So I'll be speaking in Atlantic on the 20th on windbreaks.
Very good. Another good reason for folks to get signed up for the Crop Advantage series and don't miss out on all the good stuff. Well, Billy, thank you so much for the time here today. Appreciate it. It's it sounds like something just very simple, but it's like everything else in life. If you don't really know what you're doing when you get into it or know what to look for, then you really can't identify and fix those problems as they move along. So it's good to have those experts out there. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and like you said, they're a long-term practice, so if you get it right off the bat, you're going to have a lot more return from your investment. So.